your Harry Potter happy place. This is episode 44 on November 24th, 2021, and I am Melanie.
And I'm Juliana, and today we have a kind of different episode for you, and I think you all are really going to enjoy this because I know I had a great time recording this and visiting this amazing wand shop. We have an interview between me and one of the lovely workers and also the owner of the Orchard Works Wand Shop. I was able to go and visit their shop down in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. They have the most lovely little building, and they only sell magic wands. Which is so cool that they've made a business out of solely selling magic wands. The shop is owned by Ed and Janet. They started their wand business as an Etsy shop back in 2011. And then actually almost exactly a year ago, they opened their storefront. And that's where they've been ever since. And they actually just very recently in the last couple of months got this really cool Voldemort Harry dual wand painting that someone made for them that is also at the front of their shop, which is very cool, very nice. That wasn't there when I visited them, but it looks very nice from the picture. Ed and Janet are two of the nicest people I think I've ever met in my life. They carved out the whole afternoon so I could do an interview with them and get a magic wand made by them. They spent so much time with me and were so absolutely lovely. And we also got to meet one of their other shop employees who was absolutely just a joy as well. And you'll hear her at the beginning of this interview because I sat down with her because Ed was busy making my wand as we were talking and Janet was painting some more other wands in the back of the shop. And it's just such a quaint, cute, adorable shop and everything a witch or wizard would want from it. They have so many wands. And what Ed did is he made a custom wand specifically for me, and it's made out of this really cool wood that I can't remember the name of, but it's purple and it's really cool. If you are in Connecticut or in the Stafford Springs, Connecticut area, I would definitely really highly recommend going to visit this shop. If you let them know ahead of time about the custom wands, that's the best way to go with those. But Ed and Janet will really make sure that you are taken care of. And yeah, it was just really nice to do that.
Before we get into that, this interview is a short while back. When exactly was that again?
Yeah, it was, I believe, the very end of July.
Yeah.
So this was a little while back, but I don't think there was anything too time-related that we spoke about, really. Okay. So this all should be still pretty relevant to everything. It was more just learning the history of the wand shop and learning what they do and all the things like that. So listeners, you should still be able to use all this information. It's still relevant.
I myself have actually not listened to it yet. Oh. So after we are done with recording this introduction and I get to edit, then I will actually hear the interview and will find out what you have asked and what kind of conversation you had. So I'm actually really looking forward to that myself. And as you listeners know, we are such fans of wands and everything about it. This is definitely something to completely geek out about, and I was so jealous, I remember very clearly, so jealous that Juliana got to go to an actual wand shop and see the process and the making of it and getting her very own special wand that no one else has, just her. It's very unique and very pretty, so I think I am just as excited as hopefully all of you are to listen to this wonderful interview that Juliana could create.
Yes. Listeners, we'll leave you here.
We will see you at the end of this interview.
We'll see you at the end of this interview. Have fun! Okay, hello listeners. This is Juliana here, reporting without Mel, my co-host, but I am here in Stafford Springs, Connecticut, at the Orchard Works Magic Wand Shop. So I'm joined by Dominique, and she is one of the wand makers here, which is absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
And I just got a tour of the wand shop, which was great. But I would kind of like to know how you got started in wand making, because you are relatively new to the shop.
Yeah.
But as I was telling you earlier, this is kind of a pipe dream job.
It is.
And definitely a job that if you tell people, you kind of have to do some explaining.
Yes, it is definitely a conversation starter. I just started here 6 to 8 weeks ago, so I'm still fairly new at everything. The owners, Janet and Ed, just happened to know some friends of mine and were looking to take on more people, and were asking them if they knew anyone that was into art. I was an art major in college. I do a lot of artsy things, and so I live right up the street, and it seemed like a really perfect fit, and it kind of felt like fate. So I came down and talked to them about it and discovered I was actually really good at this. I'd never even tried woodworking before, but kind of got the hang of it pretty quickly and picked it all up really well. And now it's just an everyday thing, and it's super fun, and it's the best job that I really could have asked for. I've loved Harry Potter since I was in second grade, so like having this nearby is absolutely incredible for me.
Oh yes, let's get like your Harry Potter ID. What is your house? Do you know if you know your Patronus, and if you'd like to tell us about your wand? Because I have a feeling that the wand that's on the website is probably not the one that is your wand, just knowing how many options there are in this store.
Correct. So I lived my whole life thinking I was a Slytherin, but all wand makers are Ravenclaws, so I am a Ravenclaw.
Oh, see, why do you think all wand makers are Ravenclaws? I'm confused. I have a wand that is made for me by a Hufflepuff.
Really? Yes. Where'd you get that?
He's one of my friends, Andre. Hello, Andre. He's so good to this. But he is out of Brazil.
Wow.
I just know Hufflepuff wand maker.
Yeah.
So maybe he's the oddity here.
I think, like, canonically.
Canonically.
They are Ravenclaws, generally. Ollivander and...
I was going to say, Ollivander's definitely a Ravenclaw.
Yeah. So I think, canonically, they're supposed to be Ravenclaws, but there's always room for flexibility. Right.
Yeah.
You can't really box people into the four houses in the real world, but yeah.
That's true.
So, Ravenclaw, Slytherin.
Slytherclaw somewhere.
Slytherclaw in there, yes. That is why my hair is green and blue. A little bit of representation for both.
Yes. The listener, she has lovely blue and green hair.
So my wand that I got on my Pottermore assessment was a 12 3/4 inches vine wood with dragon heart string, bendy flexibility. I have not made my own wand at this shop yet. It feels like a lot of pressure, and because we have so many options, we have so many types of wood, and it's not like I have to wait for the wand to choose me. Like, I am the wand maker. I can make anything I want, and that's just so many possibilities that I haven't narrowed down what I want yet.
Oh, okay.
I do think I'm going to stick with bloodwood as the wood, but I just don't know what kind of design to stick with yet. It's a big choice to make.
Yeah, honestly, it is a really big choice.
Yeah.
There's so many things that you can do with just like a blank slate of
it's
wood.
It's amazing the amount of things that we can create in this shop. Like, the sheer variety that we produce here is amazing and overwhelming, even for someone that's doing the making.
I mean, I'm astounded by just looking around the room that we're in right now and seeing like all the different wands and how they're all different and have like different paint jobs and different like carvings.
Yeah, which makes it super nice because, you know, you go to Harry Potter World and you get one of the characters' 6 to 10 wands and you have the same wand as everyone else. But then you come here and you look around and you know that you're not going home with the same exact wand as anybody else. And you know that even if you're choosing one that was just out in the shop and not technically custom made for you, it's still your own wand and it's going to fit your personality.
Mm-hmm. And it's still a piece of art that you guys have made. Which I think is my favorite thing, because I'm not a collector of the character wands, honestly. Yeah. I just feel like, why would I want someone else's wand?
Exactly. If like, it doesn't fit you as a person, like, really worth it.
I'd much rather have, like, a custom-made wand by someone that is, like, a piece of art that someone has
created
for
me. We put so much time and effort into these, like, more than I think people really realize, because a lot of people are just, they're just wands. They're not that big of a deal.
It's just a stick.
We put so much time and effort and love into these. Seriously, like, everyone that works here loves this job so much that it's kind of nice taking home something that you know has gotten a lot of time and energy funneled into it to be your perfect wand.
I mean, I can just feel that, like, walking into the shop, there's such a positive energy
in here. Yeah, we try to keep it a very positive space, a very welcoming space. We love having people in here and showing them what we do.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a nice feeling to walk in and feel like, wow, I'm welcome here, and I'm gonna get like a get like a really cool custom piece of artwork, and the people here are like really listening to what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And taking like my personality and everything into account with making the wand, because in Harry Potter canon, like, you work together with your wand.
Right.
And you want it to be a good partnership. And
yeah, it has to be, like, an extension of you.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you said you didn't have, like, a background in woodworking, which astounds me that you're doing woodworking now, because as someone who is, like, kind of artsy-craftsy, but definitely has not done more work in any capacity. That seems like kind of like a big thing to just take on.
It was very intimidating at first. I did a lot of different art things before this, and woodworking was kind of the only one that I really avoided because the belt sanders kind of scared me for a bit because the grit can really eat your hands off if you do it the wrong way. But Ed and Janet are super great teachers and were so patient with me, honestly. Yeah. It's a lot of trial and error learning it, and there were so many wands that I just trashed and felt so bad for, and they never made me feel bad about it. They're so supportive that it made the learning process so much easier.
Yeah. Was there anything, like, especially challenging for you, like, with wand waking and woodwork specifically?
Learning the different types of wood is hard because
Oh, okay.
The shapes are fairly easy once you get the hang of how the machine works, but the types of woods react differently on the belts. So like birch wood is softer, so it'll carve away a lot more, a lot faster. And then if you move to a harder wood, it's a whole different process because not as much gets carved away at a time, so it doesn't get shaped the same exact way. So just learning the different types of woods and their hardness and how they react to getting sanded. Some of them get really, really hot really fast when you sand them, so trying to taper them, you burn your hands. So learning all the different types of wood and how they react to being manipulated however we want them to was a big learning curve for me.
Now, do you have a favorite wood to work with?
I like working with the ebony, the black ebony. It's a soft wood.
It feels on brand with you.
Yes, yes. I am wearing an all-black outfit. I am a very all-black person. Yeah. I love the ebony. It is a soft wood, and when it polishes up, it's so soft and, like, buttery feeling almost. It's so nice. I'll have to see if we have a piece that we can show you, but sometimes when you sand the wood, you get, like, the lines of where you're hitting the belt sander on it, and that just smooths out really nicely and shapes really well. Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite wand that you've made?
I've had a couple. I really like, I do a lot of the big batch wands for the Cloak and Wand that we sell to in Mystic, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. They sell batches of our wands, and we have, I think, 14 set designs that we send them weekly. Mm-hmm. And I like doing those and knowing that helping represent our store in other places and helping distribute them out to other places. So it's fun going in there and knowing exactly what I'm making and kind of doing repetitive motions and making sure that I'm really perfecting it along the way because it's just the same thing and I have a chance to really study how to make it all look perfect.
Now, have you been able to make, like, many custom wands, or are you still kind of in the process of, like, getting up to that point?
I have only done one custom wand so far. Ed usually handles the custom wand appointments because, you know, it's a lot of pressure. It's like doing a tattoo on someone. Like, that's really important to that person. If you mess it up, you really could be backtracking a lot of time or ruining a really expensive piece of wood without meaning to. So Ed usually handles those. I did do one, and it was a really big moment for me, and it turned out really well, and it was so exciting, and hopefully I'll be able to take on more in the future.
Was it for someone that you knew, or was it for someone who just walked into the shop?
No, it was for someone. It was this 17-year-old girl. She lived with her mom during the school year in California, and she was here for the summer with her dad, who lived in New Jersey, and she was a huge Harry Potter fan, so her dad brought her up here. Ed happened to already have custom appointments booked for the whole day, and like I said, I live right up the street. I'm right here, so he called me. He was like, hey, is there any chance that you want to come in and do your first custom wand appointment? Like, there's a girl here that really wants one, and I just don't have time. So I did it, and I came down, and it just all happened to work out really nicely, which seems to be a trend with me in this place, honestly. Just everything kind of falls into place.
Yeah, that seems to be a thing, and what Ed was telling me, too, just kind of like a serendipitous
thing. Magical, you could say.
Yes, honestly, very magical.
It is. I am very grateful for the way that things have been working out here.
Yeah. Were you doing anything, like, art-related before you took this job, or was...
I did have my own small Etsy shop business. Oh. I did a ton of stuff. My most recent stuff was stained glass work.
I was doing stained glass.
Yes, but I do have two young kids. I have a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old. So mostly I was just momming and doing that.
Stained glass with a 2-year-old and a 6-month-old sounds very dangerous.
It is. I'm extremely lucky that the house we bought had an art room in the attic. So I have my own space up there to keep everything completely separate from the kids. And, you know, during their nap times and their bedtime. So I would go up and work for a little bit. So that, I just like doing artsy things. So it was nice to, like, still have a little something to focus on. But now being able to come down here and have a set space to just work on my own and not be interrupted. It's really great.
Yeah. And you've kind of been part of what Ed was telling me about, like, how the shop has grown a lot
yeah.
in the very recent past.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Like, have you seen, like, any improvements in, like, the growth and, like, anything that you...
Oh, yeah. So...
Just that process, if you want to talk about any...
Even when I first started, which was only, like I said, about 2 months ago, 6 weeks ago, mm-hmm. we were mostly just doing, you know, wands for the shop yeah. that when people came in, we could sell there. And the cloak and wand. We had just started selling to the cloak and wand. And in the mm-hmm. past few weeks, we've taken on... 7 new stores that we sell to, all the way from Kentucky to Massachusetts, Connecticut. Like, we have grown so much in the past few weeks, and it's really been nice to know that I've been a big part of that, because, you know, Janet does all of the administrative work and all the organizational work and most of the finishing work, and Ed works full time as an engineer,
yeah.
so he doesn't get to spend as much time in the shop as he'd like. So being able to have me here was really able to speed up productions, that they had more people shaping wands and staining wands and mm-hmm. learning things. And I was able to pick things up quickly enough that we were able to make all these deals with all these shops and be able to get more of our stuff out all across the country.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, well, and just for listeners too, Janet is one of the shop owners, the wife of Ed.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ed is one of the shop owners, the husband of Janet.
Yes.
So yes. that's how it works.
Yes.
Do you know where you guys are selling all to? Just in case we have listeners who are in different parts.
I think we have a list of them. One in Salem, Mass. We sell to Freaky Elegant in Salem, Mass.
Oh, okay.
Now,
do you guys sell, you only sell, like, the set wands to those locations?
Yeah, so sometimes they'll ask us for a set of random wands,
uh-huh.
and we can just do whatever design we want for, like, 10, 20 of those. But once we get into bigger quantities, then...
These are the places where you're selling. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to let other people know. So, the places that we're selling of Oliver's Wands, do you know where these places are?
Oliver's Wands is in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Harapany and Hedge is...
Salem.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Twilight House is in Salem.
Okay.
And Copeland Wand is in Mystic.
Yeah. Okay. So, we have 4 locations across multiple states.
Yeah. If you go onto our social media, we have a more expansive list of places that we sell to.
Yeah.
You can find it on there. I know that I've seen it recently. It's just a lot to keep track of, and I'm not, you know, the organizational head, so.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Now, the wands that you guys distribute to those locations, sounds like you're, like, kind of, like, the main person working on those ones, kind of facilitating that. Did you get to have, like, a say in, like, what the designs were, or is that something that the shops kind of let you know what they wanted?
We kind of work together with them and see what they want, so some shops... Like I said, we'll just ask for the random designs, and then we get to, you know, decide what we think looks good and send it out, or do what we feel is fun so that we can mm-hmm. have a chance to do stuff and experiment, and we'll send those out. I know the Cloak and Wand in Mystic, they try to do, like, themed wands. So we have a mm-hmm. dragon trainer wand, and so we kind of worked with them. So they're like, oh, we want a dragon trainer. And we're like, okay, so what do you think of when you see that? So then we yeah. ended up working together to design on this spiraled shafted wand with green facets that kind of look like scales, and it's burned on the outside, so you kind of get the feel of it being related to a dragon without it really screaming dragon. There's a time traveler steampunk one. We're like, okay.
Ooh, yeah, that's very pretty.
Yeah. You know, if the shop has ideas and they have things that they want to see in there, then we'll work with them to figure out how we can make that in a way that is possible for us and meets what they're thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
Or if some shops are just really excited to just have magic wands, then they kind of give us more creative rein to do whatever we feel is best.
I just think it's great that, like, you can buy these wands and smaller business items,
yeah.
like, at multiple locations.
Yeah.
Just because, like we said before, there are so many character wands out there.
Right.
And they're just so generic, and they're
everyone in the world has them.
Yeah, just so mass-produced, and
exactly.
I'm so over them.
Yes. Yes.
But being able to walk into a shop like this, or like
in the middle of nowhere, Connecticut, and...
Yeah, this kind of is the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But not gonna lie.
It is. It is. Very small town. Very quaint. Very Connecticut.
I appreciate it, though, because it's just nice to see you guys being the local artist here. And then also I saw... Ed showed me the shelf that you guys have over there that also highlights
yeah.
some of the other local artists and, like, authors and people like that, which
yeah.
I think is just a fabulous
yeah.
opportunity for them.
I think it's super nice of Ed and Janet. They've offered that shelf, and they've reached out to a bunch of local artists and said, hey, if there's stuff that you want to sell, like, our business is growing. We have a lot of people coming in here. They don't charge people to come in and sell stuff
yeah.
here. they just let them have the display space. That way when people come in, they're getting to see it more frequently, which I think is so nice of them.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
As someone that did art outside of this company, like, I would have loved that opportunity if, like, a local business is like, hey, do you just want to, like, sell your stuff in here and we won't charge you? Like, that's just artists supporting artists, you know? It's really great to see.
This has kind of become, like, a low-key destination.
Yeah.
For Harry Potter fans.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw someone buy, like, what, like, 6, 7, 8 wands all at once.
Yep, yeah. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a lot of people. It's just, like, planning a big trip to Universal. I mean, you plan a trip up to Connecticut and you get your special wands, and again, you're leaving with something you know is unique to you, and it's definitely worth spending the extra money to buy a bunch of things that'll make you happy and know that they're special to you.
Well, and your wands definitely are, like, a good price, too. Like, I'm surprised at the pricing, honestly, because what is, I'm looking at the thing behind you, $25 for the wand in the box?
Yeah. We try to keep it as low as we can. I mean, like, we spend a lot of time on these, and we keep it as low as we can to support just the cost of labor and supplies. We don't upcharge people because we know how much people love it.
I mean, I honestly am just blown away by how, like, affordable these wands are.
Yeah.
Because if you go and buy one of, like, the Noble Collection ones, they are easily $45, $50 a pop. But I personally would much rather buy, like, 2 wands here.
And with the custom wands, we do, like, engravings or wood burnings. We shape it how you want. If they lose polish over time, you can bring it back any point in your life. If you're like, oh, this is getting dull, bring it back. We'll shine it up for you. We'll fix it up for you. Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing. This is so nice.
I know. Ed and Janet are running an incredible business. Not to be biased because I work here, but I'm really...
Although I will second that.
I'm really happy to be part of it.
Yeah. I can just imagine myself if I got a job, like, similar to this, like, within my own realm of stuff. Like, if I got, like, a permanent Harry Potter full-time podcasting job, something like that. Yeah. I would be beyond my thrill, like, just beside myself.
I know.
It's excitement.
It's fun. And Harry Potter, you know, my kids are too young for it, and I don't have a lot of friends that are super into it, so it's nice, like, having people that I can geek out about it with and, like, get excited about it and stay, like, immersed in the magic all the time.
Yeah. Now, how did you get into Harry Potter initially? Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm going to be 26 in September. When I was in second grade, my second grade teacher was really into Harry Potter, and that was when the books were just first starting to come out. So that was 2003.
Like 2001.
The books were just starting to come out, and she would read them for us at story time, the appropriate parts that the school said that she could read. She had, like, a Harry Potter calendar and, like, a quote of the day. And so I really got into it from there. And then my parents got into it, and my siblings got into it, and then they all got obsessed, and my mom brought us to Harry Potter World the year it opened, and then when the other half opened, she brought us back, which I'm super grateful for and super blessed, but yeah, I've been into it my whole life, but then, you know, you reach college, and, like, it's not cool to like Harry Potter anymore, so I didn't know that many people that still loved it so much, so finding this was so much fun for me.
That's so awesome to just have a constant stream of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Coming to you
instead
of you having to go actively seek them out.
Yeah, and it's the same kind of feeling for a lot of people that come in here where they feel like they don't have many people to get completely enthused about it, but you're coming to a Harry Potter shop and you know that everyone there is going to be just excited about it as you are, so it's nice to have that bonding experience with the customers.
Yeah, because I know, like, when I talk to my family about anything Harry Potter related, their eyes just go, like, completely blank. Whereas when I tell my Harry Potter friends, they're like, oh, I need to see it. You have to tell me what it's made out of. You have to, like, show me all the details of it.
I know, but, like, kids come in here and they're like, what does your wand have? Mine has unicorn hair. What does your have? Yeah. Like, mine has dragon heartstring. Like, nobody asked me what the core of my wand is. Yeah. It's so fun to talk about.
That's really adorable.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do you get, like, a lot of kids who come in here?
Yeah. We get lots of kids, and sometimes the parents aren't as into it, and you can tell that the kids are just, like, so amazed, and they can just talk about it for the whole time they're in here, and they just run around, and we let them pick up and play with anything they want to, and it's so fun for them, and it's fun for me to watch them being amazed by it.
Do you guys do, like, wand choosing ceremonies, or is that just kind of, like, a little bit beyond the theater?
I think we should. We haven't been doing many events this past year just because of COVID, but we were doing, like, LeakyCon and Kineticon and stuff like that, and I think that if we did something like that, it would be something that a lot of people were interested in. Like, if we had the time, we could do it. I mean, we're getting so busy. We're getting so much business lately that, you know, it's hard for us to take much more on. But I think it'd be something that we would consider doing. I mean, it's not completely out of question. I think if it's something that people would have a lot of fun doing, then we'd support it.
I imagine if you had, like, a fourth staff member.
Yes.
Like, someone who was in charge of, like, the experience.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll continue growing as a staff. We do have a couple other people that work here part-time. Ed's kids work here part-time.
Oh, nice.
We have a couple other part-time employees, but hopefully as the business grows, we can get some more people in here that are super passionate about it, and we can branch out more and do more stuff.
So you guys are going to sponsor, Ed was telling me that you're sponsoring, is it Wizard Fest? That's coming up in December?
Sounds like a really good question for Ed.
Yes. I could ask
him. I think Ed knows all the answers.
Okay, well, we'll ask him.
I don't know a lot of the administrative stuff. It's all a lot for me, and it gives me anxiety to think about because there's just so much going on, and I don't know how they balance it all.
Valid, very valid.
Yep, so a lot of questions are good Ed questions, but... Yes.
We shall ask him.
Yes.
Now, you say you've been to the Wizarding World. I'm going to the Wizarding World in November.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
For the first time?
For the first time.
It's going to be so much fun.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so much fun. Yeah. And if you're going all the way down there, it's totally worth it to just make sure you get everything. Yeah. Full experience.
And do you have, like, a favorite thing from the parks, too? Or any recommendations, things that I must...
I like the Gringotts ride, and they have the dragon on the top of the Gringotts building that breathes fire every 20 minutes, I think. Florian Fortescue's ice cream shop is really good. They have some incredible flavors there. I really like the rose ice cream.
Rose ice cream?
Rose ice cream.
Wow, sounds like we're in Great British Bake Off or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're getting transported to England over there, so it makes sense. And you obviously have to try the different types of butterbeer. I like the frozen one. Some people like just the cold one with ice. I like the blended version better. But
oh, okay. See, that's a hot take because I've asked a bunch of people and the majority have been the hot butterbeer.
Yes.
Has been the majority.
I like the frozen one.
Okay. Now, when you were down there, did you do like the magic wand thing where you have the interactive wand?
I didn't, but it seems so fun. And that's the only time that I think that I would buy one of the pre-made character wands. Same. Because it really is, you know, you just get further into the experience. You get to walk around and do the spells, and it activates whatever motion sensor, and it just makes you feel powerful.
I don't know how well you know the character wands. Do you have, like, a favorite character wand?
Honestly, for me, and this is also going to be a hot take, but it kind of matches my personality, I love Lucius's wand.
For some reason, I would have guessed that.
Yep, we do make a spin-off version of it. Yeah, we 3D print the snake head and put it on the wand, and Ed's son Calvin wants to make, like, the whole cane that the wand fits into and the whole thing. I just love it because it's such a dramatic wand. It has so much flair, like, compared to, like, Hermione's wand and Harry's wand that are much more simple wands.
Yeah.
Lucius's is just...
Or Draco's little stick that's just, like, the most boring wand I think I've ever seen in my life.
But then Lucius's wand, it just really matches his personality and is just so out there and unique compared to everything else in the series. That's definitely my favorite.
It is so extra.
Yes. I love that.
I think it'd be really cool to see if you guys made a full replica of, like, the cane and everything.
Yeah, so I'm really hoping. Ed's son is 15, so, you know, he goes back to school in the fall, but he loves doing these little side projects. He runs pretty much all the 3D printing back there, so he really wants to make the full replica, and I'm hoping if he does, he'll let us keep it in the shop, because I think that'd be so cool.
That'd be a really cool, like, display piece.
Or, right?
Like, put, like, up there. Yeah. Because I think it's, like, huge boxes. It's a cane for a full-size man. So
again,
probably want, like,
so extra. Everyone else just has the wand. He has the full set.
When, like, he doesn't need a cane.
Yeah.
It's not like he has a disability.
It's just for the drama of it.
Yeah. Look at me.
Exactly. I love that.
So now we're going to have some questions answered by Ed.
Hello.
The owner of the wand shop.
Co-owner.
The co-owner of the wand shop. So how long have you been making wands?
So we've been doing this for just over 10 years now. We started in May of 2011.
Oh, wow.
It's been a lot longer than I think we expected to. I think we kind of had some idea that maybe this would be like, you know, we'll be the best ever and someone will come along and buy the name. And that doesn't happen, apparently. So
Not yet.
No. Not yet. I don't have any aspirations that we're ever going to be like a licensed product by anybody else. One of the keys is like, you know, this isn't a toy factory. This is making one by one, by hand, everything.
It's an art shop.
It's exactly what an art shop. And I wish my insurance company understood that, because they're like, oh, you're running a toy factory. Like, no, we're not running a toy. There's no toy factory aspect of this. It's not a factory and they're not toys.
That's too funny. So,
it's good, you know, but it is, we do enjoy a lot of just that one-on-one, hands-on, you know, one of the things we tell people, you know, because there's a lot of little stories we tell along the way, is that the wand is always in our hands for every step of every, you know, piece of its creation, whether it's, you know, the final polishing, or if it's just the rough cutting, you know, from the start of that board that we started out with this, you know, a couple hours ago, and to what you have now in your hand here.
I can't believe that this came out of that board. Like, that is absolutely amazing. And for listeners, Ed created a custom wand for me based off of my love of running, and it has a wing as the handle and a rune that means something along the lines of speed that we found.
Increased speed.
Yeah. It's just absolutely beautiful, and I'll put a picture up of it so everyone can see what it looks like. But I witnessed that too. Like, it does not leave your hands like the entire time, or your wife's hands, or really anyone in the shop's hands.
Yeah, she does the finish work really nice. I just make them. She makes them beautiful. So that's you got the best finishing you could get right there. Far superior to what I can do.
Yeah.
But it's fun for me, you know, as an engineer, I can look at these things and like, how am I going to make that? How am I going to do that? And that's the fun creative part for me, that I get to do stuff like that. But we're also, you know, we're kind of working in a compressed environment, doing this, you know, where somebody comes in to do a one-on-one, a personal one session, like we call this. You know, we're trying to stay in a 1 hour time slot. So, you know, when we start talking about some of these details, like to do that in 1 hour, obviously we didn't quite make 1 hour, but
it was an ambitious goal.
I blocked out the afternoon for you for a reason. But it was, you know, it was great to do that. And, you know, I don't do a lot of wings, and I do like that general shape of the wand, but to add some of the details, like around, you know, obviously we're pointing at things which everybody can't see on the audio here, but to do some of these details here and bring that curl there around, and it's fun. Curls. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll put this up on Instagram, and people will be able to see it on either our Instagram or yours or both.
Yeah, it definitely, it's a beautiful wand. And you said you started this about, what was that, 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
And it sounds like you didn't have the intention of taking this like quite as far as it's gone.
You know, we had just been saying before this started, like, it would be great if there was just something that we could make at home and sell. Then all of a sudden this just landed in our laps, and it's just, it's been phenomenal to have it be as good as it has been. You know, and along the way we kind of looked at, well, what could we do to make it bigger? Could we go, you know, get another building? And we kicked tires on literally every building up and down Main Street here. And we're just, you know, one building off of Main Street, two buildings off of Main Street here.
Yeah, a little but over
there,
here.
Yeah, there was, there's a warehouse next to us. There's the mill wrapping all around us. There's like 3-4 storefronts on Main Street, 5-2 houses at the end, right at the end of Main Street. We looked at both of those when they were on the market. And just nothing fit. Nothing was the right fit either. The money didn't work out right. And sometimes we weren't even off by much. It was like $10,000 we were off on price. And we just didn't connect on the price. Property values are a little cheaper.
Yeah.
And then this building comes on the market. And, you know, it's we opened a store in the middle of pandemic. So we're crazy to begin with. But you knew that. We're wand makers. The building comes on the market, and we're like, this place is perfect. We've been shopping here for years. This was a scrapbook store. We got art supplies to make wands here.
Okay.
Like, she had some really cool, like, dimensional paints and stuff, and pens and markers and stuff that we just couldn't get anywhere else. So to get that store, like, we did our last event a year and a half ago. It was February 2020. And then right after, like, the next day, a real estate agent sends me a note and says, hey, I've got a building you want to look at. And I'm like, what is it this time? And it's this place. And I'm just like, we want that building.
Yeah.
And we went all in to get it. And it, you know, it wasn't nearly the bargain that some of the other properties would have been relative to this. We could have bought 3 of some of those other properties for what we paid for this place. But, you know, we were in a fortunate, kind of a dual fortunate / unfortunate. Her father had passed away. So he had a lot of business properties in Louisiana that had just gotten liquidated. So all of a sudden we had the capital to do something. It's, again, pandemic is crashing. Everything is crashing to a halt. Nobody knows who we are. We haven't even, like, existed as an official business because we're the company that was inheriting all that money didn't exist. So we wanted to get a commercial loan. Well, you can't get a commercial loan if you don't exist.
Yeah.
And there's, you have no history. So we had to basically self-finance everything. And it worked out just to our advantage that we were able to negotiate with the owners, finance with them a little bit, self-finance the rest. And, you know, honestly, we're sitting in my early retirement plan. She left her day job in the first year. I've got probably 7-8 years left in my day job. That'll put me at 30 years in engineering, and I'll be 54 and I can retire. And that's not a bad place to be in life.
I don't think so. So that's a great goal to have and a great thing to be able to look forward to, I think. Now, what's your favorite thing about having the lawn shop here?
Favorite thing about having the shop, it's not in my house anymore. That's the big thing. We had said for years, I had said it more than anybody else. Well, I didn't want the shop in the basement anymore. So having the shop above ground in a nice daylit space is great. But we couldn't keep bringing people into the house to work. There was no way we were going to expand what we could sell.
Yeah.
And there was no way I wanted to risk expanding sales that we couldn't support. So there's no point in selling something you can't make. This gives us the opportunity to have the space to certainly make a lot of pieces. Now the problem, it's a great problem to have, is just finding enough people to stand in front of the machines. And this isn't some, you know, rhetoric, nobody wants to work thing. Like, we pay very well, a lot better than as for an entry rate than a lot of other places do. It's really just a matter of now that, you know, things have happened very quickly for us with, you know, TikTok and Facebook stuff going kind of viral and news articles that you've seen here going viral and getting some more exposure. The stores lining up to buy big batches of wands from us on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Well, now the sales are there.
Yeah.
Now it's just a matter of, you know, putting people in front of the machines. And, you know, the wood is here. I work a day job. I can't be in there all the time. So, you know, we're probably a person or two away from where we really want to be in terms of then taking that to the next level and going looking for sales now. Because people are just coming. We don't advertise at all. We don't have.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, everything's word of mouth, and people find us on the internet. Google is the best advertising. You know, positive reviews on Google and Etsy and eBay and Amazon or wherever else. That's the best advertising you can really do. But we don't advertise. There's no, you know, billboards. There's no, nothing. You know, every now and again, we'll throw a bone to the local papers to just because that's good business. We want to be good business people in the community.
Yeah.
But we don't really advertise hardly at all. So if we get a few more people, it's a risk. Building inventory is a business risk. You know, we're nowhere near where I want to be in terms of output. And I know we're capable of. I absolutely guarantee we're capable of.
Oh, yeah.
Of outputting hundreds more wands per week. It's just get the people, get the schedule, get a cadence going.
Yeah.
And it's definitely gonna be there.
Yeah, especially once ponds are back up and running. And you have 4 other shops that you ship.
Already we have 4. And then there's like 3 more lining up.
Yeah.
Wondering, like, can we buy 2?
Yeah. Which is really exciting because people who aren't in the close enough vicinity to you can go to these other shops and get these cool wands custom made.
Yeah, check out Oliver's Wands in Maynard, Mass. Twilight House of Salem, Salem, Mass. Hierophany and Hedge in Covington, Kentucky. I think there's a couple stores down in like Stanton, Virginia that sell some of our stuff.
That's exciting.
Oh, Cloak and Wand in Old Mystic Village. Yes, absolutely. Her name is Ellie. You probably won't see Ellie. You'll probably see Hillary. Hillary's the manager that's usually there. In Old Mystic Village, they are absolutely our biggest customer right now. They're buying, you know, 100 to 200 wands a week from us. So they're right now, like, if there's another couple places like that out there, that's what we want, is to have 2 or 3 of those that we're delivering at that rate. That would be so phenomenal.
Being able to expand the art, I'm going to call it art, the artwork that you're producing. It definitely, it's a piece that you display on your wall and maybe you bring to a Comic-Con with you, but you take very good care of.
Yep.
You don't want it to get lost or broken or anything like that.
It's one of the neat things that, you know, again, we have our little series of stories that we tell people. The Universal Studios Noble Collection ones are all plastic.
Yes, and
you can buy knockoffs that people injection mold their own resin and plastic. And that's, you know, what you don't. So what we'll do is at a show, we'll take a wand, like, not maybe not like yours, but one of our other, you know, regular wands. And we're standing on in the convention center on a concrete floor.
Yeah.
And I'll grab the wand and throw it on the floor. People's eyes bug out like, oh, and it's going to shatter into 1,000 pieces because they've broken their Universal Studios wands. And I'm like, no, these are real wood. We have 150 different kinds of wood.
Yeah.
Real wood wands don't break. You can literally throw it on concrete and not break it.
They're not made out of some cheap resin or cheap plastic or something like that.
So you don't have to worry about that breaking. And we guarantee our wands forever for free. So
That's what I just learned then. I can come back and have it polished and things like that.
Have it repolished. If a dog chews on it, we've fixed dog chewed wands before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hopefully my dog Myrtle is not tall enough where I'm going to display, because I have a wand display shelf. Nice. And it will go on that. Hopefully she does not sprout like stuff that tall randomly. Do you have anything you'd like to leave our listeners with? Anything that you feel is an underrated thing about being a wand maker?
One of the really important things is don't be afraid to go and try things. That the biggest part of being good at this is being bad at it. You're bad at a thing until you're good at it. And being, I don't know, brave or courageous isn't maybe the right word, or bold maybe. But just being willing to experiment and go, okay, this didn't work, but can I figure it out? Can I make it better? And if you can't, then okay, go and try something different. But if you're looking at it and it's a thing you really want to get good at, just get out there and try. Pick up the tools, pick up the wood, and don't have an expectation that you're going to be perfect at it. You might not be. You might be. You might be a savant and you're amazing at it. We've had, in 10 years, we've had one wand maker come into our shop and made never a piece that went in the garbage. Every single wand she touched was a sold piece. She never, ever threw out a wand.
What a privilege to be a person who doesn't make mistakes.
It was just beautiful to watch, and I've been trying to get her to work for us again for years, and she's an art teacher, so she's very busy. Having the ability to go, okay, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. And take constructive criticism or generate it yourself and look at it and go, oh, that's not right, and make it different, or by either changing it or starting over, mm-hmm. That's hard for a lot of people to do. And you need to be willing to make those mistakes and pick yourself back up and go, okay, I know what to do this time. And that's when you get good at it. I make way better wands than I started out making. But I also make some of the exact same designs I made that very first day. Everything I made that very first day, we still do every single day.
Okay, well, thank you, Ed, for everything. And, honestly and genuinely, the wand is absolutely freaking beautiful. I love it. Thank you for willing to answer some questions and everything for me.
Happy to be here. Thank you for coming down.
Thank you.
Hello, Ed.
Hello. Hello, and welcome back. Here we are. We hope you enjoyed that interview.
What a long break that was when recording this. We took a long break listening to the interview, and it was great, Juliana. You did such a good job.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I try. So, listeners, thank you for enjoying, hopefully, that interview with our lovely friends at Orchard Works Wands. I always want to call it Orchard Wood War Wands, but it's Orchard Works Wands. Because they are obviously not here to drop their contact information, I will give it to you right now. So if you would like to visit them, they are at 13 Furnace Ave in Stafford, Connecticut. Their telephone number is 413-318-4679, and they are open Tuesday through Sunday from 10 to 5. And if you would like to hit them up, I will say you can go to Orchard Works on Instagram, and Ed is in charge of the Instagram there, and he is very responsive, and he'll get back to you. So that's also a great way to get in contact with them. And just follow them and see what other wands that they're making. They're always posting pictures of the wands that they're making. So if you get to go visit them, tell them that you heard about them on our podcast. You can get in contact with us via our email, which is puffcastpod@gmail.com, or you can hit us up on all the socials. We are on Twitter and Instagram at puffcastpod, TikTok at puffcastpod, and we are also on Facebook at facebook.com/puffcast. You can listen to more episodes of this podcast anywhere where pods are cast. And if you would like to support us, you can go on over to Patreon for as little as $2 a month. And this month, we are announcing that our charity donation is going to...
Da-da-da-da! Navajo Strong. They help citizens affected by disease, poverty, and other health disparities on the Navajo Reservation. They focus on self-sufficient projects that promote health, culture, and empowerment in long-term and meaningful ways. So thank you, patrons, for your support. And if you would also like to help, you can go now to NavajoStrong.org and support them with a donation. As always, you can also find the link down below in the show notes of this episode.
So if you would like to help us donate to charity every month, listeners, again, you can join us over on Patreon for as little as $2 a month, or you can buy Mel some cough syrup for a little bit more than that, and she might stay alive a little longer.
Now I have to leave it in. Come on. I am still sick, people.
Oh, but it's so much more fun to leave it in, Mel.
Sorry.
All the shenanigans. Listeners, also, if you would like to leave us a rating and review, we would love to read that here on the show. And if you leave us a 5-star review, we will also send you a sticker. For all of our listeners who were wondering, where was the feedback? Where were the listener reviews? Where was everything in this episode? We are recording this intro and outro ahead of time because I will be in the wizarding world of Harry Potter.
She'll be witching about.
Which we will be talking about any feedback that we received, any reviews, any notes, any emails, any paper airplanes that came through my window, not in the next episode. So thank you for listening, and until next time, stay puffy.
And which arm?
Wonderful. They told me I'm wonderful, but Mr. Wonderful. Yeah, it's from a musical. What is it? Oh gosh, can't remember now. Oh well, it'll come to me later.